has and feels a relationship to Krishna, then his or her spiritual life is secure. But you can spend 1,000 years in whatever spiritual path you have chosen if you don't feel an active relationship to God. These 1,000 years won't help you very much. In my seminar, I will discuss different things, also from different spiritual traditions, and I will give ways and means how one can develop a deeper relationship with Krishna or with God. But I want to tell you right in the beginning of the seminar, this seminar is something for digesting it yourself. You cannot give a seminar about the relationship to Krishna. You can only help devotees or the audience to think deeper about the subject. You will have to establish your relationship to Krishna, just like it is you who has to fall in love in order to find your partner or your husband, and just like it is you who has to stay in this relationship, it is also you who have to fall in love with Krishna, and you have to stay in love with Krishna in order to make it on the spiritual path. You might say, then why do you talk about this? If you say you cannot teach this, everyone has to find the relationship himself or herself. The reason why I speak about it is to make you think about it, to offer you some ideas and some inspirations in your life, so that hopefully after the 3 days, you will start to develop and establish your personal, very individualistic relationship to Lord Krishna. Now, in the beginning, before we start with the video and with all our surprises, I would like to ask you to actually look at a video. Not long ago, I stayed in France, and one of my friends said, "Sachinandan Swami, you must see this video." And I looked at it because it was my friend, I decided to use this video in some of my seminars. The video is about Saint Francis of Assisi, the Christian saint who left his rich home in order to search for his individual relationship with God. In the beginning states, it is described, he once went with his friends through the streets of Assisi. They were very joyful, they were dancing, they were marrying, they had a woman with them of the easy type, and they were enjoying, and Franz, who was not yet a saint, was there. He had financed the party because he came from a rich family. All of a sudden, his friends who were dancing through the street were missing Franz. Francis, and they, where is our joyful Francis who has just thrown this party, who has financed all our joys? And they looked around, and at the very end of the party, they saw Franz standing like this. And when they looked into his eyes, they saw he was no longer a member of their party. He had some other look into his eyes. He was thinking at that time of God. He had seen that his running with women and wines through the streets of Assisi was only the play of a clown. It was a false move. He saw it through the superficiality of his life, and he was moved by the question, what is my relationship to my God? Why have I forgotten him? Why do I behave in such an ignorant way, ignoring this most important relationship? So a little after this, he gave up his rich and ignorant material life. He started to build a church which was broken down, and made very deep spiritual experiences, and then founded the order of the Franciscan monks. But after some time, the institution which he had founded, the Franciscans, wanted to see standards, rules, regulations, but Franz said, I have no standards, I have no written codes of conduct, my only thing is love God. And he did not, and he thought, my whole work to inspire people to go on the spiritual path is for nothing. It is for wrong. I have misguided people. They want an institution. I want a spiritual revolution. And he went away from society to ask a question to God. Is it all right what we have made? Is this institution which we have founded desired by you? And we will start here with our video. We will have to put the light out, also this light, please. Svetla. We are new in this room, so we don't know all the things. When you look at this video, we will wait until the lights are out. When you look at this video, please ask yourself the question, how do you get in contact with God? And a little bit, how does this video influence you? What do you think of the scene? Tomorrow we will know where the light is. I think you have to go to one servant of the hotel and ask him. All right, so because it might take some time, I will request you to think about the question which I wanted to put to you after the video, before the video. What is God for you? When you think of him, how do you think of him? What relationship do you feel to him, for him? Are you maybe afraid of him? Do you think he is a very distant being, or is he close to you? Please turn to your neighbor, your next door neighbor, and discuss this question with him. Who is God for you, and what do you feel in relationship to him? I'm a little sorry, but tomorrow our devotees will have it hopefully working. It is not so important for beginning the seminar. Then I will do something else. We will sing Jai Radha Madhava to make a spiritual atmosphere, and then we can easily start. Mm.
In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very directly says that every living entity has an eternal relationship with him. And he says that the result of spiritual education or the result of spiritual instructions is to realize this fact. Nowadays, many people are very eager to accept the traditional Indian understanding and also to accept a guru. But many times they do not have a clear goal in their life, what result they want to have when they accept a spiritual master. They have more the understanding that somehow if he is there like a doctor, he will take care of me and I don't need to do much. And when they find out it doesn't work, they are disappointed. It is important when you take to a spiritual path to know what you want to reach as spiritual results in your life. I have here a very interesting text which I would like to read to you, a text which makes clear what is the result of spiritual instruction received by a spiritual master. Krishna says to Arjuna, if you have obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into illusion. For by the knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. A person who has properly learned spiritual knowledge, he will stop seeing people as people. He will start seeing people as parts of God, as spiritual souls. There was one example of one Indian saint who was also like Gandhi, a type of revolutionary against the British rule, and as a result he was captured in the prison and later he had to go to court. And he describes his spiritual awakening which took place in the midst of the court. He describes, all of a sudden I could see that the judge was not a judge. He was a spiritual soul, a part of God. All of a sudden I could see that the clerk was not just an ordinary clerk. He was also a part of the Supreme God, and Krishna was sitting next to him in his heart. When you have spiritual awakening in your life, you will understand that you there are different, let me say, manifestations of Krishna everywhere. You will see him everywhere, even in the hearts of ordinary people. And you will no longer see people as ordinary, but as spiritual souls. This is what you want to attain in your spiritual life. It's important to not lose this vision out of sight. When you do have such a vision, you will lose your fear. It is described that most of us have poison in their character or in their psychology. It is the poison of fear, of strach. Most of us are not really conscious about our own fears, because these fears have hidden in our subconsciousness. However, it is analyzed that every ordinary person fears in his heart to be a total failure. And secondly, he fears in his heart that he will be rejected by other people and not loved. In America, when one was asking the people, what is the single most thing you fear most? The first place of the most popular fear was to speak in public. Because people were fearing that they would make a fool out of themselves, and that they would be a failure, and they would not be loved. In Kalavats, our Velika Mangala has overcome this fear to speak in the public, and I think we all were highly impressed by her victory over this existential fear, which is with everyone in the world, which is basically a fear to be not loved and to be a failure. Now, when you learn spiritual life properly, and you understand that you are a part of God, a part of Krishna, there's nothing much to fear any longer, because he will love you always. It is said here, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is the state of a self-realized person who understands God's presence everywhere and who understands that he has a relationship with him everywhere. Please close the door. So this is also what I wish to attain in the point which I want to bring forward in this seminar. If you begin to understand your relationship with the Supreme Lord, then you will lose your fear, because you will see him everywhere and everything really in him. Srila Prabhupada writes that in our human form of life, we have the gift to know God. If we do not recognize God in our lives, we miss this very important chance in our life. It's almost like we do not pass the test of evolution. The human form is given to the soul by Krishna so that he can establish his relationship and he can live in that relationship very comfortably. The 11th canto describes that Krishna had created all the other life forms, the animal forms, the plants, and so on. But he was not very satisfied. Why was Krishna not satisfied with this creation? He was not satisfied with the creation because in this human form, in the animal forms, people only work on instincts. They are not really able to do anything which is beyond their instincts. Only in the human form of life, a person can actually wake up from the prison of material nature. He can stop to be an instinct-driven person, but he can start to reflect about and use his freedom. An animal is not free. He is driven by instincts. So Krishna wanted to make this human form of life where he gives the soul the maximum amount of freedom, so that the soul can use it to realize his or her relationship with Krishna. He was not satisfied before he had made the human form of life. I think now we can understand why Srila Prabhupada was sometimes expressing that people who do not connect themselves with God, who are not spiritually minded, that they are really animals, because they have to be, they don't use the gift of the human form of life. On the other hand, if a person starts to work actively on his relationship with Krishna, he will experience a very, let me say, free and inspired type of life. And I have a quotation from Prabhupada, where he says, proper understanding of one's condition, constitutional position in relationship to Krishna is so nice that it can at once lift one from the struggle for existence which goes on in the ocean of existence. In other words, if you properly understand your relationship to Krishna, you will stop to struggle for existence in your life. You will become like a happy person who feels all this accompanied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wherever he or she is. A good example is what we have seen on our last pilgrimage to the pilgrimage before the last, I'm sorry, to South India. Shishtikata and myself went into a little village in the South Indian jungle. It is called Hobilam, the place where Lord Nrisimhadev made his divine appearance. We went up into to one valley and followed a beautiful small river until we came to a little temple which is called the Krodha Varaha Temple. This temple stands at the place of an attempted assassination. Yes, it was not successful. It was an attempted assassination, let me tell you. Many, many, many years ago, there was a palace of Hiranyakashipu. It was situated on the high mountain, and Hiranyakashipu was very rich. The powerful rulers of the universe came to offer him pearls and jewels and so on, and he only needed to raise his eyebrow like this and everyone was so afraid that they surrendered everything to them. Here, take it. No more. No, no, no. Don't fight with us. So Hiranyakashipu only had this one problem. His son was a sweetheart, a saint. And he tried everything in the world to bring his son away from this spiritual or holy life. One day, when he was in very good moods, he asked Prahlad Maharaj what was the best thing he had ever learned. At that time Prahlad was sitting on the lap of Hiranyakashipu and said, "Oh, best of the demons." Yes, oh, best of the, he called him like this. "Oh, best of the demons. People like you should immediately get out of material life. It's like your life is like someone who has fallen into a dark well, and he's suffering as a result of this. So you should get out of the dark well of material existence." And this was too much for Hiranyakashipu. He thought, "My son is good for nothing. He doesn't see that this life is very good, and he offends me, his father." And then he started a series of very serious attempts to kill his son. I remember he threw him into a well of snakes, poisonous snakes. The snakes made friends with little Prahlad. He asked these monsters with spears to kill Prahlad, but the spears couldn't pierce the body. Somehow the skin had become very, very hard, which sometimes happens to mystic yogis. And finally, when nothing worked, Hiranyakashipu had his servants carry Prahlad Maharaj on the top of a mountain And then the servants threw him down. And this is exactly where the temple is. It is on the foot of a mountain which is very, very high. You can look upwards and see from where Prahlad Maharaj was thrown down. As he came falling down, the Lord could not tolerate that his devotee would now die, and he came in an invisible form, caught him up and brought him back to where his father had thrown him down. Where exactly where this happened, there is this temple called Krodha Varaha Nishingha. The form which the Lord took was Nishingadev mixed with Nishingadev. Nishingadev mixed with the, I'm sorry, Varaha. Varaha, you know, came once and was taking the earth which had fallen down and placed it in the right position. So the Lord took a form which was a combined form of Nishingadev and Varaha. This is a beautiful temple where we made an arati and where we prayed that the Lord will similarly protect us and carry us when we are when we are falling down in our lives and slipping. Finally, I like to really tell this all the time. Finally, Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad, could see that he could not disturb Prahlad, he could not kill him. And he asked him a question. From where do you get this amazing strength? And Prahlad was saying, Father, I get my strength from the same source from where you get your strength. Says Hiranyakashipu, you always talk about God, but tell me, where is God? Prahlad at that time looked around like me, not really with much focus, and saw a pillar, and he saw in the pillar, there where Anita sits, the beautiful form of Govinda, playing his flute, looking with lotus eyes which came up to his ears, and smiling at him. I'm here, don't fear. Prahlad was in ecstasy. He said, Father, you asked where God is? God is everywhere. To be more concrete, is he in that pillar? And of course, Prahlad had just seen the Lord and said, da, 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 da. And then Hiranyakashipu became furious. He wanted to disprove what his son had just said, took a sword, ran to the pillar, but before he could hit it, the Lord came out, but he did not come out in his sweet form as Govinda. For the demon, he came out in his most angry form, half man, half lion, and he then liberated the demon from material existence. It very discreet ways. He killed Hiranyakashipu. This story, which most of you have heard maybe already once or twice, or you have read it in the Bhagavatam, has a very important point for us to make. Prahlad saw the Lord in one way, and his father, who had no bhakti in his heart, saw the Lord in another way. The Lord saw him in a sweet form. Hiranyakashipu saw him in a very angry and ferocious form. This point is important for us to understand. The way we approach Krishna will determine the way in which he approaches us. The way we pray to God will determine in which way God will answer our prayers. Prabhupada often said Krishna is responsive. That means he answers.
I think we know this in human affairs. When someone talks to you very friendly, you are inclined to talk friendly to him. And you are maybe a little bit, you invite him in and you ask him to sit down on your sofa. And if someone has another relationship, you will prefer to meet him maybe in a hotel or in a neutral place, but not in your home place, which is a more private place. So in our seminar, I will talk a little bit about different ways to approach God and also different realizations of God. I feel it is very important for us as spiritual people to understand this principle. I'm at the present moment writing a book about death, and I'm comparing the different experiences of people who have had a clinical death and then somehow returned from the other side by ways of resurrection methods, you know. And it's interesting. A Christian very often sees Jesus who comes and brings him to the other side. A Buddhist often sees Lord Buddha. Hindu might see another manifestation of the Lord. And a Hare Krishna devotee, it depends what type of devotee. If he is a real devotee and not just an external, he might see a Krishna at the time of death who comes to save him and bring him to the other side. In other words, it's very important how we think of our relationship to Krishna, because that will determine how the Lord will reveal himself in our lives. A second lesson can be learned from the deathbed, so to say, and that is that as spiritualists we should never condemn other religious experiences. God can come in many guises. How many shirts do you have in your garderobe? Maybe five, or if you are poor brahmachari, maybe two, and so on. If you are rich sannyasi, I think I would say 9.5. The half is where the monkey is grabbing the shirt. Krishna has many, 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 many shirts, many forms in which he can come. And that's why I was requesting you in the beginning to think a little bit about your relationship. How do you see him? How will he reveal himself to you? I want to tell you about this from my own practical experience. I was once operated severely on the, and as I was, oh, it was, I was lying on the operation table. I was becoming first, the narcotica was becoming weaker and weaker, and I actually felt how they were cutting my belly. This is a very, very painful experience, and I really felt like someone who was tortured to death by some violent war person. Then I finally lost my consciousness, and I remember seeing myself as a little point of light like this in a universe which was not very friendly disposed to me. The universe looked very much like the inside of a clock. You know, there are different wheels going into each other, and the universe looked like this into my eyes, different wheels of time which turn us around. A plant lives maybe for, I do not know, 3 years, 5 years. An elephant can live for 50 years, and your life maybe 82 years. We all move in different time circles. Kala chakras, as the Sanskrit philosophy says. In this moment, there are different time circles revolving. There's one time circle for our seminar, which is supposed to end at 9 o'clock. There is the times of the hotel planning. There are different there's the summer time, and there's the old winter time. Everything moves in certain kala chakras, and I saw myself in between, moving in the machine. At that time, I prayed to Krishna. I prayed to my Krishna. The Krishna I have been worshipping for my life, and he so kindly appeared at that time in the form with a crown. He had lotus flowers, he had a yellow scarf and a dhoti, and he looked very, very happy, but also like joking, you know, with a little like this. I prayed to him, Nasa Draga Godaspadi, please, you see, your devotee is suffering now. This might be my last hour. Can you please be here? Just watch everything. And then Krishna smiled at me and he said, why are you so afraid? I'm always next to you. I see everything. No need to turn now only to me. I'm always there. Nothing happens outside of my control. And then he said some very nice things to me, and finally he said, it's not yet your time to go. You have still a mission to fulfill for me. I remember this very much. It was a form which I had worshipped which appeared. It was not Nrisimhadev. It was not Lord Ramachandra. It was not the Christian God with a beard, and not the God without the God of the Muslims. It was the form I had cultivated a relationship to. And this very much brings to mind a shloka which Lord Krishna has said, Yeya tamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhajamyam. In the degree or in the way someone surrenders unto me, I will reveal myself accordingly. It's responsive. In our seminar, we will talk about different forms of God and different ways to reveal how he will reveal himself. That I want to do tomorrow. Here I just want to prepare you for the very advanced subjects of our seminar. I was once making an investigation amongst devotees and trying to find out what Krishna means for them. It was very interesting. One said to me, but Krishna is my best friend because he gives me something to eat. He gives me prasadam. Others said that when they think of God, they more think of him as manifested in nature. 2 weeks ago, Shrishtikata and myself went through on a walk with some friends in Austria. We wanted to visit one particular church where Mother Maria has appeared and cured diseases. I had a backache and I wanted to cure, but it didn't go away. But no problem. I would try something else. We found one on the way, we saw one inscription. It said, if you want to come close to God and find His way, you must go into the temple of nature. Can you relate to this? Isn't it how sometimes when we feel a little bit tense and a little bit but when we go in the nature, we somehow feel you're much too late. We feel that we come close to God. We feel a pulse. Ding, 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 ding. Oh God. We were with Gauranga Sundara, Skola Bhavan family. We made a walk near the Adriatic coast, and the water was coming and giving us a shower, and we felt dobro. And that's a very, because we felt this water is all the cosmic form of the Lord. Tomorrow I want to speak in depth about this, but here I just want to say many people have different relationships to God. I think it's time really for us to concrete, to make this relationship concrete. When I was in Belgium and gave a lecture, I asked, do you have a king here? And the people said, yes, his name is Albert. Albert's a very foolish name, but... and then I asked, do you know Albert? And they said, no, we just know he's there, and sometimes we read about him in the newspapers. I think most of the people today have a similar relationship to God. They know he's somewhere there, hidden in nature maybe, or in the church, or maybe in my heart, or maybe in our temple. But the relationship is very vague. Just like the relationship of the Belgian people to Albert, the king. It is not developed. Personally, I think this is not a very satisfactory way to exist with someone who is so important in our lives, that he is the founder of our life, the beginning of our life, and also the end of our life, and the middle of our life. We should not be satisfied with just only a vague relationship. He's there somewhere, on a throne, above some cloud, and so on, like the King Albert. It should be developed. It should go deeper. And here comes an important point. In the scriptures it is said that we all have a relationship of kinship with the Lord. Now this is a word which we need. Kinship. Yeah. Kinship means like I have a relationship. It almost means a blood relationship. It's very, very close. Like to your sister or your brother or your father and your mother. Now, it's a very close relationship. Even if you forget your mother and your father, that relationship will always be with you. I can guarantee you this. I'm not a very good son, because according to the tradition of a sannyasi leaves home forever. But now I'm becoming old, and I thought, well, let me look a little bit back on the people which I know. I found out I know my parents, and they know me. They sometimes write me, and I write them. They read my books, and they are interested in what I do. they ask my brother always where I am and so on. And they wish that when they become older, and most probably when they die, that I am there and that I can help them, because they have faith in spiritual life. So, let me say, then a little while ago I had birthday, and I, two weeks before, I found my otats, or my tata, and said, "Father, I have birthday." "I know that," he said. "Really?" I said, "Would you mind to come to my birthday and talk a little bit about the human being, Satchinandan Swami?" See, people like me have a difficulty. I'm mostly perceived as a sannyasi or a monk. And for some, I'm perceived to be the guru. And no one knows the human side of me. The side which is struggling for his spiritual life, which is undergoing changes, which knees down in lonely places, kneels down, gets down on his knees and prays to the Lord, "Please show yourself, please guide my way, please help me to carry the burden." So I thought to invite one person who knows something about me which no other person will know, because that person has a very unique relationship which only one person can have. That's my otats. And I said, "About the human being." Then he is a very known man in some circles of Germany. He has given many, many lectures to many thousands of people, and he knows how to do this. So he went on, went before all the devotees, and then he became a little insecure, and Malin Wolfney. He noticed I've never spoken before such people. And I know they want me to speak about my son. It's such a complicated relationship. And then he also felt that the devotees were so kind to him. My mother got 3 presents and she didn't even have birthday. So they were very shaky, and my father almost cried. And I saw this person, and all of a sudden I felt a feeling which I've never, which I had forgotten for a long time. I felt like a mother son, like a small son who needed to pacify his otats. And I took my girl and said, "Here, don't be nervous, they won't eat you, I'm here." I embraced him and he embraced me. It was like, I felt really like a son towards the father. It was a forgotten relationship, but it came back. So with Krishna, we have also such a relationship. It may be forgotten, but it will come back if we make the right circumstances in our life. However, making the right circumstances is a little tricky. See, to your father, you have a relation of kinship which is based on the blood relationship. Yes, the krim. It's in the genetic codex. Nature will work its way. Material nature will take care of the emotions and whatever your relationship with him is, but it is a relationship. To Krishna, you don't have a blood relationship. What type of relationship do we have to God? It's not in our genetic codex. The genetic codex is dust. Yes. Or material. What type of relationship? On what basis is this relationship? You all know it. It can only work on the duhana level. To feel this, what I have just explained, a reawakening of a lost relationship towards Krishna, you have to come on the spiritual level. If you don't come on the spiritual level, you will never feel this relationship to Krishna. You can come into a Hare Krishna temple, but you feel bored and look to the women or to the Mushkaskis. You can see the deity on the altar, but you will see maybe only flowers, good flowers. I remember when I first came to the temple, the devotee said, look at the altar, God is on the altar. I said, Urenu? And I went before the altar. But because I was so on the material platform, I only could see flowers. No deity, nothing. Many of our people have this difficulty when they come to a Hare Krishna temple or a philosophical lecture. They cannot understand what we are talking about because they are on the materiali niveau. Yes, many devotees have this problem when they come to the Sunday feast and there is a kirtan.
This is a very, very good question. Where is happiness there when everyone cries in spiritual life? Francesco, the gopis, Lord Chaitanya. See, this crying for Krishna is something very mysteriously. When you cry for someone in the world, he's gone. And you, therefore you cry. When you cry for Krishna, in this crying for Krishna, you meet Krishna. He's there. When you really cry for Krishna, he's there. Because your feeling is intensely Krishna conscious. If you think intensely of Krishna, he's there. If you chant his holy name, he's there. If you look at his deity, he's there. So, separation in this world means apartness, distance, drama. In the spiritual feelings, when you feel separated from Krishna, because he is not an ordinary object of this world, it is meeting and separation. And Subhangi, you will be surprised to hear that this type of meeting is the most realistic meeting which we can have of Krishna, with Krishna. Because our senses are not developed. We don't have our spiritual body at this particular moment fully manifested. It's there in the seed form, just like a tree is there in the seed. Our spiritual body is there in a potential form, you say. So you don't have a body to really associate with Krishna as of yet. Krishna in his duhana form, spiritual form, medyutim. When you feel in this situation an honest feeling of separation, an intense feeling for Krishna, Krishna will come and he will, how do you say, meet you in this. It's called meeting in separation. And Lord Chaitanya and the acharyas following him came to teach this secret of spiritual life. Even in this movie it was shown, when he was really, then the Lord was there, and it was not unhappy, he was very happy. least the happiness of a gloomer was there. Yeah, he tried to show. It is a secret, and if you want to know more about the secret, now comes a little reklama. We have written a book called The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, and there is one chapter about it, isn't it? At the end of it, Meeting and Separation, I think it's called, the end chapter. There you can read more details and of what Prabhupada wrote about this. This crying is not like ordinary crying, like you cry when your husband is not at home, or when there is no proper pizza arrangement, or your son is somewhere and you do not know. When you cry for Krishna, Krishna is immediately there. Thank you very much. It was a very important question which you have asked. So I want to thank you very, very much for this, for coming to this. I'm feeling very relieved. Please don't run away in this moment. I want to just make one little comment. Please, tomorrow, some of you are a little tired, because I know life in Zagreb is a tired life, or let me say strenuous life. Please take a little rest, maybe half an hour before you come, if it is possible. Also, I want to request the organizers, if you can find out how we can open the windows in the meantime. Up till now they are locked. It's a typical modern hotel. Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj once told me he came in an American hotel and he tried to open the windows and it just was not possible. Not even with a bang, 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 press lock door. But there must be, because these are also human beings, they need fresh air. So